if a heart fallen brother can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning. My name is Tom Halden, Director of the Office of Communications of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Jeff Caven still traveling the world, as he always does, and sitting right next to me. Well, it's Gene Stoppelstad, Director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life for the Archdiocese as well. We're so glad you're with us for the Rediscover Hour, which, you know, it's kind of fun to be here, and it's exciting. We have a lot to talk about. We're talking about family, and Gene, it's great to see you.
Oh, thanks, Tom, for having me with you today. It is great to be here, and just before we started, we were talking a little bit about how at this time last year, we were on our way to visit the Holy Father at the World Meeting of Families.
Isn't that amazing how quickly a year goes? And then that's the last time I was on the Rediscover Hour with Jeff, was in early October after everyone had gotten back and we'd all gotten a chance to decompress and really review what everyone had gone through on that pilgrimage. And you went with the Archdiocese. You led the Archdiocese group.
That's right.
So that was amazing. You had a huge group. Well, I led a group that was my parents, my mom and my dad and my mother-in-law, and then our four kids and my wife. So it was a different kind of pilgrimage, and I think I needed that few weeks to decompress after 1,200 miles each way to Philadelphia. But it was wonderful to see the Holy Father. It's wonderful to be here today, and we are talking about family and about special events here in the Twin Cities today.
That's right. October is always a big month for families within our archdiocese, and I think our guests today on this show are really going to exemplify what we're doing to reach out to families and particularly young children.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking with Gail Dorn this morning. She is the head boss. She's the boss over at Cisco, which is a Catholic school center of excellence. They had a huge mass on Thursday at CHS Field in downtown St. Paul. 12,000 students. The Archbishop was there, Bishop Cousins, over 60 concelebrating priests. It was amazing. We're going to talk with her about that and really what Cisco is, what they do, how they support families. We're also going to talk about with Connie Schneider for the 14th Annual Worldwide Children's Eucharistic Holy Hour. That's coming up in October. And then Todd Ziesmer is here this morning as well.
What a great lineup. I'm really excited to speak with all of these guests.
Yeah, and we'll be talking with Gail Dorn coming up in just a couple minutes after this short break. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio.
In the constantly changing world of technology, LCI in the Twin Cities offers an experienced staff and knowledge to service and maintain the current technology at your company. LCI also provides this message in support of Catholic ministries in our area.
College campuses are battlefields for the mind and souls of our young people, and many are leaving the church. Students are hungry for truth and meaning, but most are not being reached effectively. St. Paul's Outreach has produced thousands of alumni who are passionate followers of Christ and who continue to shine His light in the world long after. Your support of their mission is welcome at spoweb.org.
LCI supports local Catholic ministries, including Relevant Radio. Large and small business owners find a cost-effective IT solution by calling LCI 763-425-7567 or lci-online.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Tom Halden from the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, along with Gene Stoppelstad. We're both with the Archdiocese, and it's a pleasure to be here. Jeff is still traveling, and really, I'm still trying to come down from yesterday, Gene. It was one of the most unique and one of the most spiritual and inspiring events that I've seen in a really long time. And amazingly, it was. If you haven't picked up the Minneapolis paper from Friday, you got to pick it up. On the cover of the Minnesota section, three pictures of the All Schools Mass. Now, this has never been done in the Archdiocese. So Cisco, which is the Center for Catholic School Center of Excellence, I still have to work on that, presented this huge Mass yesterday, All Schools Mass. 12,000 students, as we mentioned at the top of the show, Archbishop Hebda was a celebrant, concelebrated by Bishop Cousins, and then more than 60 priests. So it was just an amazing gathering of students. And it was just so inspiring to see all those kids there. And it was fun to look around and have them look around at all the other Catholic kids. And these weren't even the high schoolers.
I know. The pictures on that on the Star Tribune were amazing. There was just absolute joy exuding from every face. Those kids were happy to be there. It wasn't I have to go and do this thing.
Not at all. And it was a Thursday, and it had rained all night, of course. I mean, the coverage in all the newspapers and all the TV and radio was just the flooding that was going on. So there were lots of tough things going on, but it looked like it was going to rain all morning long. And then right at the closing prayer, the sun just peeked out just a little bit. It was just amazing. And of course, that's just God saying, yeah, I don't worry. I got this all covered. There was not one raindrop on the kids. They fed all 12,000 kids lunch, either mm-hmm. at the ballpark or on their way out when they hopped on their buses to go back to school. And it was just the reverence and just, it was just a wonderful thing of which just to witness and right. to have that kind of coverage. And you can also go to thecatholicspirit.com as well. Photo gallery there, also on the Facebook page of the Catholic Spirit, too. So we're going to talk with Gail a little bit later in the Rediscover Hour this morning. But first, we're going to talk to Todd Ziesmer, because this is a great thing. Also, so many great things happening in this archdiocese. And one of them coming up, and it's going to hit a parish near you, which is really, really neat, is the Fatima Centennial Tour for Peace. 1, 2, 3, 4, like 7 different spots all over the Twin Cities. Holy Cross Church in Minneapolis, Long Lake, New Brighton, Stillwater, Bloomington, Minneapolis as well. Coming up on the anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima. And Todd Ziesmer is the vice president of the apostolate. He is here, USA, Fatima USA. Just want to make sure That's we right. got that right. Todd, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks, Tom.
Well, thanks for being here. It's great to have you here.
My pleasure.
You know, we hear about Fatima. We hear about the prophecies. We hear about the kids. And this has been going on for so long, obviously almost 100 years mm-hmm. since Our Lady appeared to those young folks. But you're here to talk about this tour, which is really, I don't want to say aggressive in a bad way, but mm-hmm. you want to make sure that everybody gets to see Mm-hmm. Our Lady of Fatima. Tell us a little bit about this tour that you're underway in right now.
Certainly. Well, again, thank you very much for this opportunity to be here to tell our community about this visit. It is a big deal. We're good? Okay. Our Lady is traveling throughout the United States. The International Pilgrim Virgin statue of Our Lady of Fatima, which is a very, very special statue. It was carved in 1946 and then commissioned by the Bishop of Portugal, of Fatima, to travel the world to bring the message of Fatima to the world. Because at that time, after 30 years after the apparitions, the message of Fatima had not been spread throughout the world at that point. And in fact, in 1947, that was just at the end of World War II.
And then let's go back just a second mm-hmm. and just explain to folks who may not, I mean, I think everybody knows the name. We know about the message of our Virgin, but it was really about peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was about,
absolutely.
This is, well, what do we need to do to mm-hmm. create peace? And if we don't do it, mm-hmm. we're going to find ourselves in war again, right?
Exactly. Exactly. The message of Fatima is often referred to as the peace plan from heaven. And it is. God sent the Blessed Mother to the world actually during World War I, which was supposed to be the war to end mm-hmm. all wars. Didn't really work out that way, has it?
Mm-mm. No, not at all.
And so God revealed through the Blessed Mother that war is the punishment for sin. So if we want peace, we need to turn back to God. And so that is, in its essence, the message of Fatima. Now, Our Lady appeared 6 times to 3 children. The wonderful thing about the message of Fatima, it's very layered. It's just so mm-hmm. fascinating, but also very difficult to encapsulate in sound bites. So I'll do my best this morning to, you know, give you the essence of the messages. But yes, Our Lady appeared with the message for peace, turn back to God. And really, she told us that there were just a few things that we needed to do. In fact, they're not very complicated. They're simple. Every single one of us can do it if we wanted to. The first thing she said is offer up the sufferings that God permits in your lives for the conversion of sinners. In fact, that was the very first question she asked the children in the May apparition. Are you willing to accept whatever suffering God permits in your life for the conversion of sinners?
Well, and that's a stumbling block for a lot of people because we don't like to suffer.
Exactly.
And then our culture and our world says, you know what, if we want to end things, people don't deserve suffering. Mm-hmm. But yet we as Catholics say, no, this is for our good. This is to become closer to Christ.
Exactly.
And it's such a beautiful gift that we can make. I can remember just even as a little child, all of us have heard over and over again, right? Oh, just offer that up. It's mm-hmm. kind of a Catholic.
Right, and what does it really mean?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and here it's a way for all of us, no matter our age, whether we're, whether we're sick and bound to our bed or whether we're little children, everyone can participate in this mission of peace.
Yep. And that is, suffering is terribly misunderstood. Mm-hmm. it's something that, again, as a clue to the importance of suffering and the value of suffering, Our Lady's question to the children, asking them if they're willing to accept God, whatever suffering God permits, that it does turn suffering on its head. And we all have suffering in our lives. So are we going to allow that to make us holy by uniting that sufferings to the sufferings of Jesus? Or are we going to let it go wasted? And I think sadly today we have bought into the idea that mm-hmm. suffering is more of a punishment than anything positive. Nothing good can come from suffering is the message of the world. Not true. It was through Jesus' passion and death that we were saved. And that's, we need to look at, every time we look at a crucifixion, we need to be reminded that suffering has value.
I think Fulton Sheen was the one who said that the greatest power that is wasted in our world is suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And talk a little bit about the second and third messages of mm-hmm. Our Lady, and then we'll talk about the tour and how people can get, because this is really neat. People can really get involved in mm-hmm. this.
Yep. The Our Lady then appeared and showed the children in the July apparition the vision of hell, which was a very traumatic experience for the children. It really convicted them to do whatever they can to save souls, knowing that it is through their suffering that they can cooperate and make reparation for those sinners. The second secret at the message of Fatima had to do with Our Blessed Mother revealing to us in the world that God, it is God's plan to lead souls to Him through the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Very important. Now, Immaculate Heart of Mary devotions had actually begun prior to the message of Fatima, but it was at Fatima that Our Lady revealed that it is God's plan, and He wishes to establish in the world devotion to the Immaculate Heart. And then finally, the third secret, which was withheld for many years, actually, there was a lot of speculation that it had to do with, you know, the apocalypse mm-hmm. and some really, you know, frightening things. Pope John Paul II in the year 2000 actually revealed the third secret. And the secret was a vision by Lucia was a vision of the Holy Father being shot. And then we can, for those who might know a little bit about the Fatima message and history, our John Paul II, on May 13th of 1981, was shot, yeah. and which happened to be on the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, and his life was spared. He has given credit to Our Lady, specifically Our Lady of Fatima, for the saving of his life, that her hand directed that bullet so that it would not end his life.
Well, this is a great, thank you so much for sharing those details with us, because that really lays a great background for the importance of the tour for peace that is coming to the Archdiocese. And could you tell us a little bit about that tour and the significance of the image that you're bringing?
Absolutely. Thanks, Jean. The Fatima Centennial U.S. Tour for Peace is a big program that we started as an apostolate to spread the message of Fatima throughout the United States of America. This statue, once again, as I mentioned, that was carved in 1946 to bring the message to the world, that is its purpose, is to bring the message to the world, to the people. And so our organization is the custodian of that statue, and we thought probably the biggest and most impactful thing we could do is to conduct and coordinate a tour throughout the United States of America. And so we have sent out invitations to every bishop in every diocese, 195 dioceses, and offering them the opportunity to stop for a visit in their diocese. So far, of those 195, we've had 90 that have said yes, and only about 10 have said that they can't work a visit into their schedules there. So we're anticipating that we'll visit about 150 dioceses throughout the country. So right now the statue is touring in the Wisconsin area, and we'll be coming to Minnesota in our Archdiocese October 8th through the 13th. starting with the Holy Cross Parish in Northeast Minneapolis on the 8th, and then St. George Church, Catholic Church in Long Lake on the 9th, St. John the Baptist in New Brighton on the 10th, St. Michael's in Stillwater on the 11th, Nativity of Mary in Bloomington on the 12th, and then finally, the big finale, the farewell, will be at the Basilica of St. Mary on the 13th of October, which is the 99th anniversary of the miracle of the sun, which is a big day, as well as Archbishop Hebda will be present starting at 7 o'clock to about 8:30 that evening with a very special prayer service.
And it's important to Archbishop Hebda, very special. He was installed as the Archbishop of St. Paul in Minneapolis mm-hmm. on the 13th of May.
That's right.
And he venerated the statue of Our Lady, beautiful statue that the cathedral mm-hmm. has. If families aren't necessarily familiar with the visions and with Fatima, why should people go to this? What can they expect when they go to any one of these parishes? And it's great. I mean, they're everywhere, which is kind of nice. So mm-hmm. there's one close to most people who are listening right now
yep.
to the Rediscover Hour. Why should they go, and how can they get ready to go and mm-hmm. to make this a really meaningful experience?
Yeah, and that's what we realize that the organization, while it's been around for 70 years, it really has been the last couple generations that really haven't heard the message
right.
of Fatima. And so that's one of the real goals of this tour, is to reach a new generation of Catholics with the message of Fatima. So anybody who's interested in hearing the peace plan from heaven that was given to us 100 years ago, that is still waiting to be lived mm-hmm. and allow those the blessings of cooperating with God's plan for peace for humanity, come to the visits, because we have, as part of each of the stays or each of the visits, we will have talks, presentations on the message of Fatima by the custodians. We'll have we've got plenty of material as well to help people acquire that information so that they can take it and start, you know, familiarizing themselves with it, start praying it, and then ultimately starting to respond. Because in the July apparition, Our Lady said, "In the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph." And I'll say that one of my real passions is to do everything that I can in this archdiocese to hasten the triumph of the Immaculate Heart here, because we can do that.
Absolutely, we can.
The more people that embrace the message of Fatima and begin to live that message, turning back to God, the sooner that her Immaculate Heart will triumph here.
Todd Ziesmer, thank you very much for being here. We can't wait to participate in all these events between Saturday, October 8th and Thursday, October 13th. For more information, you go to FatimaTourForPeace.com. You can also go to the events page on archspm.org.
Tom, I'd also like to mention, too, that while the website that you just referenced, that will take you to the national website, which gives you the tour of the entire United States, I'd like to refer people also to our local Twin Cities website, which is FatimaOnline.org. FatimaOnline.org, and that'll give you all the parish addresses and the schedules and so forth.
Perfect. Todd Ziesmer, thank you so much.
Appreciate you
being here and really just giving us some context and just getting, for a lot of us, I think, really making us aware and letting us know that this peace needs to start in our homes, and we can start together as an archdiocese, and we all need peace too. So Todd, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. We'll be, of course, following that. Catholic Spirit will have plenty of coverage on that, as will Relevant Radio. Well, coming up next here on the Rediscover Hour, we are going to be talking with Gail Dorn. She is the president of Catholic School Center for Excellence. We're talking about the big mass from yesterday, and of course, talking about what Cisco does in encouraging our families and making sure that all families can have a Catholic education if they want one. We'll be right back.
Rediscover. This is Dale Alquist. Where will you send your child to high school? It's one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. At Chesterton Academy, our students experience the joy of Christ, they grow in character, they deepen their faith, they learn leadership, and our integrated classical curriculum prepares them for college and for life. There's going to be an open house on Tuesday evening, October 11th at our campus in Edina. Come and meet our faculty, our students, and discover the affordable faith-filled education that we provide. But perhaps you're interested in a Chesterton Academy closer to your home. We are working with the Archdiocese, exploring the exciting possibility of opening two additional campuses in the fall of 2017 to serve families in other parts of the Twin Cities. If you're in the East Metro area, there will be an open house at the Church of the Blessed Sacrament in St. Paul on Tuesday, September 27th. And if you're in the Southwest Metro, there's going to be an open house at the Church of St. John the Baptist in Jordan on Thursday, September 29th. Find out more at chestertonacademy.org.
You're invited to join Father Jim Livingston for a morning of reflection dedicated to St. Thérèse of Lisieux. St. Thérèse was a Carmelite who lived her entire vocation behind the walls of the cloister, but her little way became renowned throughout the world. I'm Paul Sadek. I invite you to attend this morning retreat dedicated to St. Thérèse, Saturday, October 1st, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Excelsior. Come deepen your prayer life through the Rosary, Chaplet of Divine Mercy, and time for private prayer. Here, Father Jim Livingston presents St. Thérèse, the little way of confidence in merciful love. For more information, go to the events tab at relevantradio.com or call 612-590-0251. That's 612-590-0251. Take some time out of your busy schedule to attend this special morning of prayer in the Carmelite tradition inspired by St. Thérèse of Lisieux, October 1st.
You can borrow.
Thank you for listening to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. I'm Tom Holden from the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, along with Jean Stobelstedt. She is the Director of Marriage, Family, and Life, and I work in the Office of Communications. We talked at the top of the show about yesterday's Great Mass, and I think the numbers were fantastic. It was 12,000 students, and of course you mix in some hundreds of teachers and chaperones, 90 buses, I believe, 60 priests, one bishop, and one archbishop, and it equaled one fabulous day, even covered on the front page of the Minnesota section of the Star Tribune from Friday.
Amazing. It's just, you know, it's so nice to see that Catholic identity out there in the community and affecting our culture.
And the kids were loud and they were proud. Gail Doran joins us now on the phone. She is the president of the Catholic School Center of Excellence in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis. Gail, are you still alive? I'm guessing you slept well last night.
I slept very well, very well. Thank you, thank you. Yes, the only correction I would have for you, Tom, is we actually had 220 buses.
Oh, it's 220 buses, okay.
Yes, it was a logistical feat to get everybody from our 79 Catholic grade schools to one place, safe and sound, and it all went off so beautifully.
It was beautiful. And of course, you can't beat the Mass. So while we were all there gathered for the Mass, you can't beat that. But, you know, in a stadium, it was outside. It's right next to Highway 52. I thought maybe it'd be a little bit loud and it would be distracting. But, Gail, those students, they were so reverent. It was a beautiful Mass. Yet to be so reverent and have so much energy, that's a great combination. That's hard to beat, isn't it?
It really is, and I loved our musical support from Sonar. Mm-hmm. I think they did a great job of directing our children to be focused and to support the Mass and all that it has to offer us, and they were reverent, and I thought that was a beautiful part of the whole day.
So, Gail, this amazing first-time-ever event, it just... as Tom mentioned, it was fantastic. But can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what you were hoping to accomplish and how it all kind of came to fruition?
Sure. Well, the Catholic School Center of Excellence is just celebrating their first year of operation. And we are focused just on two things. We are focused on supporting our 79 Catholic grade school in this archdiocese. We are supporting them in two ways, by helping them achieve excellence and by helping them increase enrollment. And when we had this idea of forming this organization, thanks to the leadership of Bishop Cousins, who is on our board and who has guided the creation of this organization, we really had a dream of being able to not just work directly with all of our schools, but to really celebrate in a very public way our Catholic faith. And so this idea was born over a year ago. It's been a year in planning. And we were just so excited, as you mentioned in the introduction, to make our faith public and to celebrate our Catholic schools as one beautiful community. And I think it was just a very, very powerful thing for all the participants.
And you know what? Being there in Lower Town, if people haven't been to the ballpark, it's down right across the street, literally from the St. Paul Farmers Market, is where the ballpark is. And to have it there was really fun to see how many people, and you probably didn't get to see this because you were running the show, but those of us who were just kind of helping out in different and various ways, people stopped by. There were a lot of people who wanted to come in and just witness what was happening. That, you know, they heard the music. That was very attractive. They heard the kids. They saw all the buses. It was a great energy and a great buzz in that part of town, but it really was something about the Mass and people being together like that that drew people in from the neighborhood who had really no connection to the Mass.
I believe so, and I also think it was a wonderful thing. We had a drone that went up and captured these aerial pictures of the full stadium and the full field, and it was just an amazing thing to be able to capture that. It was a beautiful thing.
And then Mass Cam, I'm sorry, Gene, but the production company, IDCOM, that did the production for the Mass, they had cameras everywhere, and they had, instead of the Kiss Cam, they had Mass Cam, and the kids, they went crazy for this.
It was fun to watch. We live streamed the event to all of our schools, and so throughout the event and afterwards into the evening, just seeing all of the social media, the parents, the teachers, the schools that participated at their site, just enjoying so much the energy that the kids had for this event. It was lovely.
So, and I just wanted to remind everyone again that if you want to take a look at some of these pictures, they are on the Catholic Spirit site, and they are on the Minneapolis Tribune site as well. And I have a question for you, Gail. You know, as you're going through all of that planning, that year-long planning, and I'm sure there were a myriad of obstacles that came down the pike, but yesterday, when you were watching these kids, like, what was your highlight? What was your personal highlight?
It was difficult. I just sent an email out to all of our 79 principals this morning with a long list of my highlights. But the one thing that I think that I took away from that whole day was our joyful, beautiful Catholic faith. It was such a joyful celebration, and I heard the words hope, I heard the words inspiration, I heard the words community. One of my favorite things, as these 60 plus priests were processing out after the Mass, and the children were reaching out to them as they were processing out of the ballpark, and I heard the children yelling to them, "We love you, we love you."
Mm.
And
beautiful.
There were just so many moments like that. It was a holy, holy event, and I was so happy to see that experienced by our youth. They are the leaders of our church. They are going to be tomorrow's leaders, and we need to instill this faith in them in a compelling way. So it was a momentous event. There were many, many tears that I saw in the participants, and it was just an honor to be there.
There's something about when our young people catch a fire, right? And they're so transparent and they're so malleable. Their hearts are so beautiful. They want to believe and they want to have the peace and the joy that God is offering them. And so when we as adults can create that atmosphere for them to have an authentic experience of Christ, that's our goal.
And Archbishop Hebda said it so beautifully in his homily. He talked about being good, but being called to greatness. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to do with our children. We want to call them to the faith and call them to greatness and to live the life that God had planned for them. And I received a tweet from a parent who was not able to participate in the Mass last night, but she sent it to me and said, "I picked up a van load of kids who participated," and she said, "and they all told me exactly what Archbishop Hebda said during the homily."
Amazing.
It is amazing. He is our amazing leader, and it was just a beautiful message that was so well received.
Well, you know, our relationship with Jesus. I mean, it's a relationship. It's in a relationship with other people in the church. But it was a great example yesterday. And you mentioned the priest, and this made me think of it. You know, they were thanking the priest. They're saying, "We love you." But the look on the priest's face, you know, we're bringing people together. And this is something they're going to remember forever, not just the kids, but the priest. I know there was such excitement there. And there's such excitement that in this archdiocese right now. And this just added to that fire that Gene was talking about. How do you then carry that in, or how do principals and others at their schools really tap into that fire right now and then just make sure that it keeps going? So next year they're talking with their friends, and we got to go to this, and if there's any way possible, we got to try to get more people, you know, how that works, but how to keep that fire burning in these schools and in these children.
Exactly. Well, first of all, I just want to thank the priests for participating, for being there, for celebrating Mass with us, and also to give thanks for the wonderful support they give to our Catholic schools. They are so important to our Catholic schools. And our principals, they are spiritual leaders for these schools, and they also were so thankful to be able to participate with their parent chaperones and their teacher chaperones. I heard from many, many principals last night and this evening just saying thank you for the opportunity to give witness to our faith and how that is spreading in their community. They felt the joy yesterday, and that's something that happens every day in our schools. Our Catholic schools are excellent. They are Christ-centered, and we want to support that as much as we can.
Well, that's... I really appreciate that sentiment, because I believe, I'm with you, Gail. I believe in that mission and that message. We, as a mother, we need all of the assistance that we can get in our families, within our greater culture, within our schools, within our communities, that really support the work that we're doing with our young people as we transmit the faith to them. So I applaud you, and I thank you for all of the great efforts you're doing in that arena.
Well, you are very welcome, and I want to thank our two major sponsors for the Mass yesterday, the Schultz Family Foundation and the Catholic Community Foundation. They made this possible. We hope and pray that we will have the opportunity to repeat this next year or sometime in the future, but it really takes that support from the community, and I just wanted to thank both of them for stepping up and saying this is important, and we want to be a part of it.
See, that's why you're the president of Cisco, Dale, because you took my last question. I was going to ask you, because now that we're almost 24 hours past, and I know there was talk among some people yesterday about whether you do this again, because it was so successful, because it was so meaningful, and I think it was Jason Slattery at the Office for Mission of Catholic Education said, oh yeah, we're already talking about it, but maybe that was just Jason. Are you talking about it already for next year then, Gail?
Well, we are praying for it.
There you go.
That's the first step.
That's the first step. And we, you know, it was a very wonderful event. It was an expensive event. And so we want to be able to reach out to the community to see if this is something we could repeat. And we hope and pray that is the answer. Because now we have a terrific track record. We actually understand how to get 220 buses to and from these schools logistically. And there's so many ideas that came out of yesterday that we would love to roll out in the future. So pray for us that we are successful in reaching community support for this event, because we think it would be terrific to repeat every year.
Couldn't agree more. It was an honor to be part of it. Gail Dorn, thank you so much. Gail's the president of the Catholic School Center of Excellence. We call it Cisco, but just a great day, a great event. Gail, thank you for all you do, and we look forward to talking with you soon.
God bless.
A great pleasure.
Thank you. That's Gail Dorn again, Catholic School Center for Excellence president, talking about yesterday's Mass and Cisco's mission when it comes to Catholic education. Coming up next here on the Rediscover Hour, we're talking with Connie Schneider. She is the president of Children of the Eucharist. We're talking about the Worldwide Children's Eucharistic Holy Hour.
Rediscover. Have you seen how hard some businesses try to prove they're socially responsible, like it's a new idea? Well, Catholic United Financial, based right here in St. Paul, has been doing it for nearly 140 years. They consider folks members, not just customers or account numbers. Catholic United is a not-for-profit. They transform profits into purpose, bringing together members, employees, and volunteers to pursue their mission. Grants for local schools and parishes, post-secondary scholarships to members. They even have a disaster recovery team. Their annual Catholic Schools raffle for over 90 schools in the Upper Midwest has raised millions for Catholic education. So when you buy life insurance or a retirement product from Catholic United, you're not only protecting your family, you're also providing for the greater good of your community. Like that idea? Give your local sales rep a call. In Matamidi, Shoreview, and White Bear Lake, that's Joe Juer. In the West Metro, that's Ryan Selleck. Elsewhere, go to CatholicUnited.org and type in your zip code to find your local rep. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, we're there for life.
Father Michael Van Sloan of St. Bartholomew Catholic Church in Wayzata with a Mercy Minute on Relevant Radio.
Our Lord Jesus is the embodiment of mercy and compassion. Jesus taught, "Blessed are the merciful," and he practiced what he preached. When Jesus encountered someone possessed by an evil spirit, out of mercy, he cast the demon out. When the sick were brought to Jesus, out of mercy, he cured them. When his disciples did not understand the parables, out of mercy, he explained his deeper meaning. When Jesus saw a crowd like sheep without a shepherd, out of mercy, he taught them and guided them. When Jesus looked upon those who condemned and tortured him, out of mercy, he asked his Father to forgive them. When his disciples abandoned and betrayed him, out of mercy, he blessed them with his peace. Jesus has given us an example. As Jesus has been merciful with us, we are to be instruments of his mercy to others.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio 1330. I'm Tom Holden from the Communications Office at the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis, along with the Director of the Office of Marriage and Family Life, Gene Stoppelstedt. So we talked about Our Lady of Fatima. We've talked about the statue world tour that's coming all around America, that's coming to our Archdiocese in early October. We've talked about the huge mass on Thursday at CHS Field for the Catholic School Center of Excellence. And now it is time to talk about the worldwide Children's Eucharistic Holy Hour being spread all over the world on October 7th. That's why they call it worldwide, because all over the world. I mean, it's just right there even in the title.
That's right.
But it's originating from the Cathedral of St. Paul. Bishop Cousins is going to be part of this. The Archdiocese is going to be part of this. The cathedral is already going to be filled. But there's a way for everyone, and I mean everyone, to participate in this. So joining us this morning here on the Rediscover Hour is Connie Schneider. She is the president of Children of the Eucharist. Good morning, Connie. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
What a great event originating from our cathedral. It's going to be carried on EWTN Live, EWTN.com. Everyone literally in the world has a chance, if you can get an internet connection or a TV signal, can be part of this. Talk about this event itself and maybe why it's going to be originating from our cathedral.
Well, a little background is that the very first Holy Hour in the Year of the Rosary originated here. It was an inspiration of Our Lady of Fatima. And from there, and that was interesting, too, that Todd was here. The statue, the international statue, was part of that first Holy Hour. But in 2006, Our Lady lifted it to the Basilica in D.C., just giving a little background. And for 10 years, we broadcasted it there from EWTN. And I'm getting older, so I'm back home, you know.
Well, that's good, though, for us.
It is. It's good for the kids. It's good for the world. But the interesting thing about this year that I'm excited about is that the parish church, it begins here at 10 Central Time, of course. Mm-hmm. But the following day, because it's an extended, because of this year of mercy, there's an additional 40 hours of prayer. Mm-hmm. So that children around the world, wherever you are, in every time zone, will be able to participate. So on Saturday morning, I don't know what time yet, EWTN will be broadcasting from the Parish Church of the Little Shepherds in El Gestural, Fatima. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to watch the video that they prepared, because at the end he said, and our children will be uniting with the children that are in the Cathedral of St. Paul, National Shrine of the Apostle Paul. So,
oh, isn't that wonderful, that world
that
connection,
link.
And
yep.
Very, very much exemplifying the body of Christ,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Unity of all of us participating in the mission of peace and mercy.
Right. And our children, you know, they the beauty of this program is that it's simple, it's free. All you have to do, if you're a grandmother, parent, teacher, just if you can take one child or 1,000, but bring them before Jesus on that day to spiritually unite their prayers for the triumph of Our Lady's heart.
Todd had really mentioned very strongly the need to unite our sufferings with that of Christ and offer them for peace in the world. And this is a way for our little children, doesn't matter if they're preschool children or grade school children or high school children, this is a way for them to really bring about world peace. They have so much to do with bringing that to fruition. And as you mentioned, they can be praying in their homes, they can be praying in their schools, they can be praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament in the chapels of their parishes. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter where they are. But the fact is, they need an adult to lead them.
Right. And that's our role, you know, as parents, teachers, clergy, whomever, to show them where Jesus is. If we lead them to where he resides on earth, they will know where to go when they're in trouble. They'll know where to go when they're happy. It'll set them up for life. So, you know, that's the mission anyway of the Worldwide Holy Hour, is to point the way, for us to point the way of where he is, because I don't think most children know. I went to Catholic school. I didn't know. I mean, I knew all the basics, mm-hmm. but nobody ever took me to the tabernacle and said, this is where he is. Mm-hmm. And of course, they didn't have a lot of adoration at that time. But now imagine if you're in a chapel and you see a little child come in and kneel down and respectfully adore Jesus. I mean, that converts the heart of any adult as well. So it's through the children, to the family, to the heart of the family. That's our, with the message of Fatima, that's our message.
Beautiful. Right.
And I have a question for you, Connie. There are some people who are probably part of the not very well catechized generation, as I am in my mid-40s. And, you know, it wasn't really talked a lot about that. That's the real presence there. That's really Jesus. You went to church, you know, you prayed, you learned about, not about the saints, but it just wasn't real deep. And now we have our kids. And mm-hmm. we have kids who are maybe teenagers, 20s, but, you know, kids are down into the single digits as far as age goes. What does a holy hour then in my home look like for this? I mean, if I have the TV on, that, you know, to join in that, but how do I get myself and my home ready? And so I can lead my children in something that I may not have done mm-hmm. before.
Well, as far as the Worldwide Holy Hour, it's probably more difficult to do it at home, but because you're not in the presence of Jesus.
Right.
I mean, you are, but you know. But to gather the children, you know, because EWTN will, broadcast it, mm-hmm. so you can watch it live stream. They're going to put it up on their YouTube channel, mm-hmm. so you'll be able to, you know, watch it right on your own screen and follow along, or in your own parish, church, or chapel. I understand about families; it's sometimes a struggle to get everybody together, you know, because everybody's kind of like, "I'm going here, I'm going there."
But it's so important just to do it, though, to try it, right?
That's
to start,
the point. Yep.
And to be united, and to try to explain to your children, and probably to yourself, that right now at this moment on October 7th, you will be united literally.
Millions.
Up to a billion people on Earth.
We even got two hits from Russia.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. It seems that our mother has a way of removing many, many obstacles for us. And I think that in our homes, or as we were mentioning, we might encounter some difficulties, but we shouldn't stop. No. That we shouldn't allow that mm-hmm. to be a hindrance to us, but just to move forward mm-hmm. and to remember that the prayer is really just a simple conversation with your mother, with Christ himself, and just to be simple like the children. We don't need big flowery words. We just need to pray. And sometimes taking that rosary and holding those beads in our hands and just praying the Hail Mary is such a beautiful way to begin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Can you tell us a little bit, too, about what is going to be happening in the cathedral mm-hmm. on October 7th? Who will be in attendance?
Mm-hmm. Well, the attendance will include, of course, all the Catholic school children, different schools mm-hmm. from our archdiocese that will be participating, some homeschool children. The Squires of the Knights of Columbus will lead our procession. Mm-hmm. So it usually is... you know, procession, they have Parade of Nations, different children dressed in different national attire. And they'll crown our Blessed Mother. They will pray the prayers of Eucharistic reparation as the Angel of Peace taught the shepherds.
Mm-hmm.
they will entrust their lives to our Blessed Mother and pray the World Mission Rosary for the families of the world. And that it's a beautiful program. It's holy. It's grace-filled and flows right into the heart of every family from the hearts of the children.
Having that model, the kids will be able to see and experience the prayer in the presence of Jesus Christ in the monstrance.
Exactly.
And they'll be with their bishop, mm-hmm. their shepherd. What a fantastic experience for them. So then, as they leave the cathedral on October 7th, there's yet more to come, right? We want them to continue mm-hmm. in right. this, in on this road for reparation and being missionaries for world peace.
That's right.
So can you tell us a little bit as well about some of the things that you have planned for mm-hmm. after the Feast of the Rosary?
Well, one of the things is that I put in a request to Archbishop Hebda if he would go to the postulator, Sister Angela in Fatima, Portugal, to request the relics of the Little Shepherds. And he did receive them. So we purchased a reliquary, and we're going to put the relics in there and then go to the schools, whoever would want us to come, bring those, explain the message of Fatima to the children, and use our five-step easy program to promote the message, but to promote Eucharistic adoration for the kids.
How impactful can those relics be, Connie, for kids, for something that they can touch? Because, you know, you can't touch the Eucharist except when we receive.
Mm-hmm.
But so they'll be sitting there at the Holy Hour, and they know. And I think kids oftentimes know better than adults. They have that faith. They know that that's Jesus.
They do.
In the body and blood. But, you know, how important is it for them to look at it and to be able to talk about it? And, you know, I just love the way mm-hmm. kids explore with their hands. And
I know.
They learn that way.
I think that the most important person that is going to be part of that is the person, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, like when they're in the schools,
mm-hmm.
and that person is teaching them, what is this? Because what do children know about relics? Most adults don't even
right.
talk about relics anymore. Mm-hmm. But these are, you know, pieces of the lives of these children that witness the you know, in the presence of our Blessed Mother, a message for the whole world. And I think when kids know, they are part of that message.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They are not, you know, they're not just there to just watch everybody else.
Well, and it doesn't make it makes the message and the messengers obviously real.
Exactly.
And then for kids, that matters. That you know the young people, you know, from 1917. So they're gone physically, but it's the bringing them together and
exactly.
making that connection.
Making
because
them alive.
Kids need that connection to make them that they were real people, and then. We're all called to be just like those,
that's
just like those messengers.
Little missionaries.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think the fact that they were children, mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. like those around that will be sitting in the pews or sitting in the classroom, these little shepherds gave their lives to our Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. They were just little people making a huge impact in the world for generations. And the fact that our Mother is calling our children to do the same.
She's calling the children of the world to help her to fulfill the request that Jesus needs, she needs to present to Jesus to bring peace to the world and the triumph of her heart. It's been difficult for her to get it from adults. You know, mm-hmm. Everybody's busy, everybody's, you know, not all adults, I don't mean all adults, but children, you know, it's an army, a holy army of saints that need to be tapped into. And I think that it's starting to happen, you know, and mm-hmm. if everybody, all the adults just, I know that it was Archbishop McFadden or Bishop McFadden. He said the Catholic schools are the new seedbed of the evangelization.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
What a profound statement.
It is, you know.
And we're really seeing that throughout the Archdiocese and the many events and things that are happening here that our kids are responding to the grace that God is offering.
They are.
Well, and our kids are a great example because they can only go and go and go. And you talked about that busyness kind of,
mm-hmm.
that we all have. And even if we're not as busy as we think we are, because I think that a lot of times that's the case, that they'll only go to a certain point, and then they'll tell you in their own way. Usually it's
that's
a meltdown
right.
on the floor of the store or the back of the car
right.
that they've had enough.
Right.
And for this, for a holy hour, you know, you're not asking for 12 hours and asking for 40 hours straight of fasting and some things that can be difficult for people to even get their head wrapped around, but for an hour and for people just to slow down, you turn off the phone and you just sit in the presence.
That's right. And that is a beauty. But when you're talking about that, when children understand sacrifice, when they understand the old fashioned offer it up, they will cooperate with that. And then every little thing that they do becomes a little sacrifice, as long as they understand it. So that's our role, you know, and as we approach the 100th anniversary, I think big things are going to happen throughout the world, and we're there to get the message out to the kids so that they can help our Blessed Mother.
And so they can help their parents, too.
And,
and especially if you have a cathedral full of 3,000 school children or more, because they, you know, those little bodies fit more in the pews than we larger people.
And they're all over the world. So.
Yeah, and they'll go, and they will be those missionaries that you mentioned. They'll say to their moms and dads who may not have a connection,
That's
and they may
right.
have never done a holy hour, to say, I think we need to do this.
Yeah,
and we start by changing our families, and that will change the world, won't it?
Yes. Pope Benedict said, through the children to the families, opening up a new time. So, igniting the flame of faith in the hearts of our children. So, what's happening?
It is happening. It is happening. And as we all know, that our families are the foundation of all of society. So, anything that we can do to support that and bring Christ into a real presence within our families and in our kids.
If I can make a plug for our website.
Yeah, please.
It's childrenoftheeucharist.org. And everything is there about the message of Fatima and everything. All kinds of resources and anything that any school teacher, parent, grandparent, great-grandparent.
Even a neighbor. Even if you know you have some folks next door. Connie, thank you so much.
Thank
and we
you.
Want to get that information again. Yeah. It's coming up on October 7th. Now, it originates from the cathedral, but the cathedral's full. So please don't come to the cathedral because there won't be any spots for you. So participate in your parish in front of the Blessed, in front of the Eucharist. Participate in your home. You can go to EWTN.com if you have EWTN, if you're getting on your antenna or your cable system. You can get it that way as well. So there really is a way for everyone.
Right. There'll be video streaming it live here. So
that's fantastic. Yeah, again, from the cathedral on October 7th.
Okay.
Connie, thank you very much
for
being here. Appreciate it. Oh, that's just one of just so many things that are happening in our wonderful Archdiocese. And here are a few more, Paul.
We've got a ton of them. All men are invited to the join Bishop Andrew Cousins and other men from the Archdiocese for a men's pilgrimage to Our Lady Guadalupe Shrine in La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's on Saturday, October 1st. Come to pray together, celebrate Mass, listen to a talk by Bishop Cousins, bus transportation, and much more. Due to a generous donor, the cost has been reduced to $35, and that includes transportation and lunch. For more information and to register, visit eventbrite.com, keyword Bishop Cousins.
So many generous people here. The world-famous International Pilgrim Virgin Statue of Our Lady of Fatima, which we spoke about earlier, traveling worldwide since 1947, is on a historic two-year journey all across America from March 2016 till December of 2017 to commemorate the 100th anniversary of the apparitions at Fatima, visiting more than 100 dioceses in 50 states. The Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis is participating in the tour October 8th to the 13th of this year. Find out where the host parishes are. For more information, visit the events page on archspm.org.
The Office of Evangelization and Catechesis, in partnership with the Siena Symposium for Women, Family, and Culture, present Woman and Man, Complementarity as Mission, Wednesday, October 5th, 7 to 9 p.m. in Wolf Alumni Hall, in the Anderson Student Center of the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. Come hear Dr. Deborah Savage and Dr. Greg Bataro speak on what do both science and scripture have to say about the battle of the sexes. Engage in roundtable discussions on the topic. The event is free and open to the public. Free will offering will be accepted. For more information, visit the events page on rediscover-faith.org.
Those who have experienced the death of a baby before or after birth are warmly invited to attend the annual Mass of God's Children at 7 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, October 11th, at Nativity of Our Lord Catholic Church on Stanford and Pryor in St. Paul. This Mass has been held every year since 2004 and is sponsored by the Nativity of Our Lord Parish and the Nativity Council of Catholic Women. For more information, call 651-698-5554.
Parents and grandparents, the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis invites you to a workshop to learn about resources for passing on the faith to your children and grandchildren. Thursday, October 13th at the Hayden Center in St. Paul. Come hear Julia Doffing speak on how you can use the latest resources and creative ideas to keep young children inspired and engaged in the Catholic faith. The workshop runs from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Light dinner will be served. Free will offering accepted. For more information, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org. Tom, I'm glad you've got this one.
Yeah, Minnesota welcomes Father Ubald Regan Gorga.
Oh, that was great.
I talked to somebody who knows him yesterday.
Okay.
Father Ubald is a priest of the Archdiocese of Kigali, Rwanda, and he was actually a witness to the Rwandan genocide. He has a beautiful healing gift, and he speaks on how the only way to free people and heal them of their inner wounds is through reconciliation and forgiveness. Father Ubald arrives in St. Paul on Monday the 17th. To find out where he will be celebrating Masses and healing prayers, please visit frubald.com. It's frubald.com.
Fantastic show today.
Well, thanks, Paul, for your help.
And what's coming up next week?
Well, join us next week as we are joined by guest host Alyssa Bormes. Alyssa is a popular author and speaker, just returned from The Way. So she's got some great stories. She also writes for the Catholic Spirit. We'll be joined by Terry Kopp and Dr. Teresa Deesher, president of Sound Choice Pharmaceutical Institute. Terry and Dr. Deesher will discuss vaccines as well as adult stem cell discoveries and how to apply them. Also be joined by Reagan Barklage, Midwest Regional Director for Students for Life and recent author contributor to Glamour Magazine. There's so much more, and we hope you join us next week for the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.